You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning. Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Rudy Pratt. Hi. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to KCNR 1460. A little technical moment there, but we're back. Better than ever. Well, you know, as I was coming into the studio today, I could actually see just a splash of sunshine. So I don't know how long, if it even stayed, you know, but for the moment that I got out of the car and took six steps into the studio, we had a little bit of sun. So the rumor is that tomorrow we're going to have sun, and we know how good it is for you. So get out and get your eyeballs in the sun and take your pets with you. So I want to thank Nick Webb for hosting my show last Saturday. Boy, he did a great job. I just get so inspired by him. And he, you know, he didn't get a chance to talk about his new book called The Innovation Playbook. And, you know, we'll have him back on. This is his brand new book, and it's almost like having, you know, with the book, when you buy the book, you get online training with it. And it's included in the price. The price of the book is a little bit more than maybe you're used to spending, but what you get is a whole training of how to run a business and his research, his own experience, and his work with other people who have who are experts in the field of business management, how to have employees, how to have a paradigm in your mind, a way of thinking about a business to keep it growing. If you have a business now that you're thinking, oh, we just need to tighten this up a little bit, this is the book for you. So we'll have him on next month, and we'll learn more about the Innovation Playbook. Our show today, you know, we're going to talk about raw milk, and it's such a big deal. If you followed raw milk in the state of California, raw milk is legal in the United States. We've got a strong push to get rid of raw milk, and it's a funny thing. You know, it's like milk. Who cares about milk? You know, we've been drinking raw milk for 10,000 years, and, you know, now we want everything pasteurized, and we're in a funny place. California, it's still raw, and the person we have to thank for that is a man named Mark McAfee. He is from Organic Pastures, which is the dairy outside of Fresno, and they sell their milk to the entire state. They can't go out of the state because it's illegal in Nevada, Oregon, and Arizona. I think Arizona. We'll get clear on that from him. And they deliver to Orchard Nutrition in Reading, and they do just an absolutely bang-up job, and it's a lot of work to be part of the raw dairy movement. And so we're going to talk about the health benefits of raw dairy. We're going to talk about what it's like to get picked on by the FDA in the United States today, and the fact that, for now anyway, state law trumps federal law. So it's a funny thing. It's interesting. It's a dynamic that if you don't know that battle is going on, it's fascinating. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be on with Mark McAfee. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR.
Pigs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Your symptoms are by now familiar. Your heart increases.
Down. Just kicking down the cobblestone.
Oh, welcome back.
Looking for fun and feeling.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy. Eric, our producer, I can't hear myself. Are we really on? Are we there? Oh, there we are. Okay. Well, perfect, you know. Our guest today is Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures Dairy outside of Fresno, and I'd like to bring Mark on now.
Good morning, Trudy. Mark here.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am terrific. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, gosh, you know, let's start at the beginning here, and I gave a little overview. I don't know if you got to hear that at all.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. And let's tell the listeners and also me, how did you get into this whole dairy business? Has it been something that's been in your family or?
Not really. I grew up on a dairy when I was a small child until I was about 13 years old or so. I was kind of the chief slave.
But
You know, I learned how to milk cows and feed calves, and my dad was a dairyman on and off. His father was a dairyman on and off for a few years when they were, you know, younger. But was not involved in the dairy business as a teenager or after high school. I have been involved in farming with my family. But immediately after high school, I actually became a commercial welder, and then after seeing a guy almost killed in a mine accident and helicopters flying with these really cool paramedics and RNs in a helicopter, I said, I want to go to medicine. So I went on to Fresno State and a couple city colleges and got my pre-med taken care of, and then went on to become a paramedic for 16 years. I was a paramedic and did everything in the paramedic field. I was an operations manager. I was on a helicopter for a while.
Wow.
Rescue team, educated paramedic. So my background is actually medicine and paramedic medicine. But then about 12 years ago, my grandparents passed away and the family farms were available, and I took them back from the long-term leases, and all my brothers had said, hey, you're it. You know, you get to farm. And I decided my wife and I would raise our kids out on the farm. And so we took over the family farms and decided to have organic dairy as our way of having the best use of our farms and operations. And from that grew outgrew organic pasture dairy, which is his own story.
And so then when you started that, then how old were your children then?
Well, my kids were pretty young. My son now is 26. He's married. He's just got his MBA from Fresno State. He's our logistics and coordinator for all the logistics of operations and distribution in California. And my daughter is going to have her degree next year. She's married as well, and she lives here on the farm. She runs our marketing department. She'll have her degree next year. So my kids are 26 and 23, and so they were, you know, around 10, 12 years old when we started the dairy. But they kind of grew up on the dairy, doing everything on the dairy, so they know everything about it. And it's wonderful to see how they've grown as people, and I just love what we do because we're so consumer connected and so natural. Everything is just wonderful. In fact, my daughter this morning is doing a Girl Scouts tour because we're connected with the Girl Scouts with our raw milk and cookies program here in Fresno, where they're touring 25 Girl Scouts around, and they're feeding calves and doing all kinds of things and educating them about immune system status and good bacteria versus bad bacteria and solar-powered sunshine systems, you know, like grass feeding of cows and all that wonderful good stuff you see in an organic farm.
Now, you've always been a raw milk dairy. Is that true?
No, actually, no. When we first started, I was not as consumer-connected as I am now. We started producing our organic milk. It was sent off to Organic Valley, which is a national brand for pasteurized and ultra-pasteurized milk. But within literally weeks and a month or two of just when we first started, we had consumers arriving here at the farm were saying, hey, we want your milk raw. It's grass-fed. And they knew a lot more about that than I did. And within just literally hours and days of connecting with these consumers, I started doing research on raw milk and realized, wow, I'd even grown up on it. It was just not on my brain. It was not in my mind that I grew up on raw milk myself when I was a child. And the more I learned about it and the more they convinced me that raw milk was a good thing, I got it really quickly about the immune system and about unprocessed whole foods and about breast milk being raw milk. And I knew breast milk was wonderful for children, so I quickly became converted to raw milk and converted our dairy to raw milk from being a dairy that shipped its milk off to be pasteurized. And within a year and a half or so of actually starting organic pasteurized dairy, we were kicked out of the co-op at Organic Valley because we were diverting so much of our milk to our own brand and competing with them on the shelves in California in the retail environment. So we were kicked out of the co-op, and then we started producing our own milk and bottling our own milk about 2002, about 9 years ago.
Now, I always say that you guys really kind of kicked off raw milk in the state of California and brought us back to sanity. Would you say that's true?
Well, Altadena, bless their hearts, they had done a really good job of raw milk, and they went away and went out of business in May of 1999. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that until just a few years ago. But that kind of created a big vacuum, a void for available raw milk here in California. So when we came into the picture in 2000, there were all these people starving for raw milk in L.A., especially where Altadena had gone out of business because they'd been producing raw milk for 40 years. And so we had this pre-made market for us that we kind of stepped into, and they were not organic and not grass-fed, and they had challenges with bad bacteria and multiple recalls. Nobody was dying, and everybody was loving it, but it was bad press. And that's kind of why they went out of business. We came into the deal, and we were solar-powered, sun-driven. We had the right kind of bacteria because you have grass pastures where they had confinement. And that's kind of divided the different principles of how raw milk is actually supposed to be produced. They did a good job by just cleaning the cows really well, but they had the wrong kind of bacteria in their environments. We cleaned the cows really well, too, but we have the right kind of bacteria in our environment. And that's why we've not had a bunch of recalls and problems with raw milk here in California, because we have the right kind of bacteria and all of our tests have been negative for pathogens in our raw milk.
Let's talk about why somebody would want to drink raw milk. Like, what's the big deal? Why should we care? Yeah.
Well, for all time, until the last 65 years, mankind has either drank raw milk, fermented raw milk, or no milk at all. I mean, the Eskimos never drank raw milk. But the interesting thing about this is every culture of healthy people around the world ate the things found in raw milk. Lots of good beneficial bacteria from whatever the sources may be. Fermented foods were in their diets. Good fats were in their diets. Enzyme-rich sources of foods in their diets, and mineral availability. If you look at the American diet, all those things are missing. The sterilized diets, minerals are not available. Fake fats, hydrogenated fats, weird fats, all kinds of preservatives, bacteriophobic, long shelf life dead foods. Those are the things that we've had to have to fuel the human immune system and fuel the human body for all time. And now we see a failure of the human body with autism rates going through the roof, diabetes, obesity, asthma killing 5,000 people a year. I mean, you go along your list, osteoporosis. All these things are related to our nutrition, not to lack of more drugs or seeing the doctor often enough. It's about the foundation of what we're eating. And the bottom line is long shelf life, stable, sterile foods are not what we've ever eaten forever at any time prior to 50, 60 years ago. We were always eating raw, whole, fermented, natural, solar-powered types of foods, grass-fed foods. So by bringing raw milk back in your diet, you bring in, guess what? Good bacteria, plentiful kinds of them, 100 different kinds of beneficial biodiversity of good bacteria, good enzymes, a biodiversity of all kinds of wonderful active enzymes, including phosphatase enzymes. Mineral availability and good fats because of grass-fed cow feeding. And when people start drinking raw milk, they see this apparent miracle come over their body that, my God, things start to function right. And it's not a miracle. It's just the biology of your gut, your immune system functioning properly, and things are going right. And kids that are breastfed, and by the way, it's tragic that so few are in California, from what I understand from the La Leche League,
right.
Only 16% of children are actually breastfed for any duration of time. When you're finished breastfeeding as a mom and you put them on a highly processed food like pasteurized milk or some kind of a weird formula, those are dead foods. And the digestive tract of the baby who's been used to breast milk has all kinds of problems, constipation, could be diarrhea, gas cramping, all kinds of problems with colic, ear infections, allergies. When you go from breastfeeding to raw milk, especially this wonderful, safe, tested raw milk we have here in California that has to meet and exceed pasteurized milk standards without pasteurizing, kids just thrive. So that's just the reason why one age group would drink raw milk. But for every age group throughout life, including older people that have osteoporosis, there's a reason to drink raw milk. It's tremendously powerful to boost the immune system and fuel the human machine. And those fuels are missing in America. Unless you go to a farmer's market and get your food unprocessed and whole, and drink raw milk or fermented raw milks or eat, lots of sushi to get your raw fats, you're not having a strong immune system, and you get caught up in this illness perpetuation of illness, this roller coaster of colds and flus. As you're aware of the doctor, it's just catching everybody.
Absolutely. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about just the word bacteria and how scary it is to people. So this is
Isn't
Dr. Trudy Pratt. Yeah, we're going to take a quick radio break. Mark, don't go anywhere. And this is KCNR 1460. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And our savvy producer, Eric Lancaster, is playing Herman's Hermits, No Milk Today, in case you missed that. I don't want anyone to miss that.
I think this guy right here, he remembered there was a classic song with milk in it.
Beecham to the rescue. Mark, welcome back.
I'm back.
Oh, good. Hey, I want to go over this word bacteria. And no matter how much we talk about the benefits of bacteria, the benefits of good bacteria, the benefits of good bacteria, and we just say it over and over and over, and we give people probiotics, and we do all this yummy stuff. The word bacteria is this word that is scary to people, and I can't tell you how many people just, they figure, you know what, I just can't see how bacteria can be good. It's a word that we've been trying to kill off bacteria with antibiotics. We have every time of antibacterial hand washing bizarre thing we put on our bodies. What are we going to do with this word?
Well, I tell you what, the word probiotics is popular and wonderful, and people embracing it more and more. The word cultures in yogurt, that's a popular word.
It is a popular word.
Politically acceptable.
Yes.
But the word bacteria is run for your life. My God, it's going to kill you. It's this, you know, Darth Vader of death.
Yes.
And all those words are the same. Probiotics, cultures, bacteria, they're all the same. You know, we fail to realize what we are as human beings. We're bacteriosapiens. If you count all the cells in our bodies, Dr. Bonnie Basler at MIT, who's a world-proclaimed, you know, doctor of bacteriology, she's this wonderful researcher in bacteria. She has this special that she has on YouTube. It's incredible. She's talking about 90 to 95% of the cell count in our bodies are bacterial in origin, not human genetic. And it's fascinating to realize that we are literally bacteriosapiens. Without the good biodiversity of bacteria seeding into our bodies, being seeded into our bodies by exposure to good bacteria in our environments, as well as our food sources, we become immune-depressed. And big superbugs like to take over places that are environments that are welcoming. And
absolutely.
If you have a weak immune system, and remember, 80% of the human immune system is made up of the biodiversity of good bacteria in your gut. But if you take antibiotics, eat sterilized foods, and have preservatives in your foods, that's a triple whammy against the probiotic diversity of good bacteria that colonize your gut. You're going to walk around as a weak immune system person. Well, that's an American. Americans have weak immune systems. So the people that drink raw milk recognize that they need a biodiversity of good bacteria and the wonderful oligosaccharide sugars that escort that bacteria through your stomach and feed that bacteria in your gut. In fact, wonderful research is done at UC Davis. Dr. Bruce Gardner up there has done great work on this. That we are going to be stronger people if you have that wonderful gut bacteria flora in your gut. If you don't, if you're constantly embracing sterile foods, foods that have been pasteurized, irradiated, preserved, highly processed, Twinkie diets, you're going to have colds, flus, my God, all kinds of other autoimmune issues in your life, not to mention other, you know, human health failures, obesity, diabetes, you name it, asthma. And you know what? I don't think that's the course that a normal, conscious, smart-thinking person would take. A person who's thinking, hey, listen, I want to be immune strong. I don't want to have a failed body. I want to enjoy my great-grandkids. I want to live to be 95 years old without failure. Queen Elizabeth drank raw milk all of her life. She died at, what, 102 years old with no disease in her body? That's the kind of gift that raw milk can bring you because it's biodiversity of good bacteria that goes to the gut. So we have to start embracing sources of good bacteria if we intend to be strong. If not, then what you're doing is following this dogma that doesn't work. Going to the doctor for every sniffle to take an antibiotic to kill off bacteria will kill you. It will literally bring on an environment in your gut that embraces things like cancers, you know, C. diff bacterial infections, which kill, you know, MRSA, the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, is killing 20,000 people a year. Is that the rat race you want to be involved in? And that's why raw milk in California has been flourishing and growing at 15 to 20% per year, where pasteurized milk's been dying in the market. Now, I will say that yogurts are growing and cheeses are growing, but it's interesting to note that both of those products have bacteria added back into them.
Right.
They're living cultured products. But pasteurized milk's a dead food, and it's interesting how the physiology of the reaction in the marketplace kind of follows the economics of the marketplace, that people can't digest the stuff because of lactose intolerance and the fact that they have allergies, and it's just not a living food. That our bodies normally crave a biologically diverse living fermented food or whole food that has its natural bacteria. So, you know, we've got to get over this bacteria paranoia because it's killing us.
Oh, yeah. Now, what kind of people are you noticing that are waking up to raw milk or raw cheese, colostrum? What do they look like? Well, who are these
people?
That's
a great question, Trudy. We tried to identify. We tried our best. We knocked our heads out, tried to figure out who is it that drinks raw milk. We've got the Jewish. We've got the, you know, the atheists. We've got the Muslims. We've got the Hindus. We've got non-religious. We got every walk of life. We've got leftists, rightists. We've got poor people. We've got rich people. We've got college graduates, PhDs. We've got, you know, kids at 7 months old. We've got every walk of life you can imagine drinking raw milk. I think it boils down to people having a realization that whole, unprocessed foods are the way we've always flourished as mankind in the face of the earth, and that processed foods are dangerous, and they are not good for us, and they cause a different kind of digestive tract ecosystem. And we've tried to identify our consumer, and literally, there's a lot of people that are more highly educated, a lot of college-educated people, but every time we try to say it's these people, it's everybody, because raw milk meets the digestive tract requirements of literally everybody. I'm not going to say everyone, but most everybody does really, really well on raw milk. It doesn't have a long shelf life. It breaks down very quickly. It's easily digested. It feeds the flora of the gut so that the gut works right, the immune system works right, and people that drink raw milk rarely get sick. I'm not going to say they never do, but I'm saying they rarely do. When everybody else does, they don't. So, you know, I don't know who drinks our milk other than wonderful people that come here all the time and tell us that they love us and that they can't get enough of us, and we're selling out constantly in California. And, you know, it's politically incorrect but nutritionally perfect, and it's wonderful because the food chain at Organic Pastures Dairy doesn't have anybody between us and our consumer. We're directly connected to our consumer, and they can complain to us, they can compliment us, they can visit us, they can keep us honest. There's transparency, there's integrity. It's beautiful, and we love it.
Oh, that's great. Hey, we're going to take a radio break, and when we come back, I want to talk about these state laws, federal laws. I want to about the threat to big dairy. You know, this is a movement that's gained so much momentum. I know it's threatening to business as it was. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. Our guest is Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures outside of Fresno, and we're talking about the benefits of raw milk. Mark, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, good. Hey, you're the easiest guest we've ever had on. You're just self-propelled here. I'm like, hey, let's just let Mark run the show. This is great. I've learned so much, and I'm sure the listeners have too. You know, before we go on to the controversy of raw milk, I want to hit just how lousy is supermarket milk for people. You know, I know that the bacteria is dead. We know that those fabulous enzymes that are so life-giving, they're dead. They were pasteurized. They were heated at a high temperature. It's over. But just how polluted is that milk? What kind of health risk are people up against?
Well, I tell you what. Supermarket milk, there's different kinds of it. I mean, there's organic milk that's low temperature heated. There's high temperature organic milk. There's conventional milk that's been high temperature, low temperature. And I don't want to just come out and say that all of it's bad, because some is worse than others and some's not so bad. So, you know, you look at the homogenized stuff, the pasteurized stuff, the stuff that's been minimally pasteurized, that's grass-fed, it's probably not too bad. It's bacteria is dead, but its butterfat's okay. So I don't want to come out and categorically say that it's all the same degree of not so good for you.
Yeah, that's good. And you know,
I will say that the conventional, non-grass-fed, grain-fed, hormone-abused cows that have lots of antibiotics used in them, that, you know, has been tested and shown that a percentage of it actually carries some bacteria which are resistant to the pasteurizer. And because they never test pasteurized milk for bacteria, there's some pasteurization-resistant bacteria getting past the pasteurizer, which can be harmful to you, including ParaTB, which is the Yoni's bacteria that is related to Crohn's disease. And in Europe, it's pretty much not a consensus, but it's drawing more and more of a crowd for a consensus, let's put it that way, where the scientists are saying, wait a minute, we think that these yonis is actually related to Crohn's disease. We're here in the United States, the FDA is flatly denying it. Well, Europeans are saying, no, it's very much related to it. So there's a lot of challenges with the fact that when you take milk from a cow in a completely artificial environment, a confinement animal feeding operation, a CAFO, that's totally fed the wrong things, and then you do some really weird stuff to it, like pasteurization, homogenization, standardization, supplementation, bactification, all that kind of crap, then you got stuff your body doesn't even recognize, and it's hard to digest. And a lot of people can't digest it and have lactose intolerance problems with it. Well, raw milk coming from a cow, green grass pastures, unprocessed, tested like crazy to make sure there's no pathogens, and it's extremely well digested by most everybody. It's a completely different food. So that's kind of my answer to that.
Oh, that's good. Now, let's go into these laws, because it reads like some type of suspense novel, you know, when you look at, or a thriller, when you look at what's happened with laws in California, the FDA. Can you take us through that muddy water a little bit?
Sure. There are six states that allow the retail sale of raw milk. California, Washington, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Maine, Connecticut, and to a certain extent, South Carolina. However, the federal government has criminally forbidden, the interstate commerce of raw milk. So I can't take raw milk to Arizona, although it's legally, I can legally sell it there. In the state, I can't take it across the state lines to sell it there. So there are state laws that allow retail sale of raw milk, but federal laws which do not allow the sale of the milk across state lines. And there's about half the states don't allow the retail sale of raw milk, and then about they allow sale of raw milk on the farm, and then the other half of the states don't allow the sale of raw milk at all. And some of those have some allowances for cow share programs where you can actually buy a part of a cow and get milk on the farm. So it's just kind of this real puzzle piece of weird state-by-state regulations. It depends on where you are and what's going on. Minnesota right now, they're having a massive battle over raw milk. There's milk being seized and police actions and raids and all kinds of stuff, and the people are really getting upset. There's YouTube videos that have been put up this week of armed agents coming in and taking milk away from moms, and it's just ugly. And that kind of begs a black market where there is no regulation, there is no testing, and that is somewhat dangerous because you don't know what you're getting. Versus in California, where we have very high standards for raw milk, complete transparency, lots of inspection, and it's legal to be bought, and as a result, you have a very safe product. There are two raw milks in America. One at the federal level, which says everything's got to be pasteurized. And I agree, it should be, because that milk comes from confinement operations that have pathogens found in their milk all the time. And it's commingled among many, many different dairies. Where in California, there's two raw milks in America. There's that kind of milk, the pasteurized milk ordinance, the federal milk. And then there's the individual consumption, the milk intended for people, not just the pasteurizer. And that has a completely different set of laws. You can't just go get milk from any dairy and bottle it. It comes from a very specialized dairy. There's only one dairy in California that does organic raw milk. There's another dairy that does conventional raw milk, all naturally. Claribel Dairy, been around since 1927. They've done such a good job, they've never had a pathogen ever found in the milk in 86 or 84 years of testing. So it's not by random chance you're going to have safety in raw milk. It becomes a very safe product. I'm not going to promise perfect, but certainly very, very safe product. The last people to die from milk was pasteurized milk at Whittier Farms in 2007. So there's been no recorded deaths from consumption of any kind of raw milk in the United States for 37 years at the CDC. So this is definitely a political fight, a market protection fight for big dairy interests and the FDA trying to preserve these pasteurization principles, which are very easy to distribute because dead milk lasts a long time. Raw milk's hard to distribute, and it's harder to produce because you have to have very high standards. So pasteurization is an excuse for dead, dirty milk.
Hey, we're going to take a quick radio break on that. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we are talking to Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures outside of Fresno. He has his milk at Orchard Nutrition here in Redding. We're going to talk more about what exact milks he has there, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Our guest on the line is Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures Dairy outside of Fresno. Welcome back, Mark.
Glad to be back.
Oh, good. Hey, during the break we were talking a little bit about just how big of a threat are the small producers of raw milk to big dairy? I mean, do you really feel like you have them on the run, or do you think that you don't? Or is it, you know, are you growing at a pace that, tell me what your input is there.
Well, I don't think we are a threat to them at all. we are a threat in that we bring a message that's threatening. But as far as volume is concerned, we're not even a blip on the radar screen. I mean, we're milking less than 400 cows total between both raw milk dairies in California, Claribel and Organic Pastures Dairy. And there's, you know, 1.9 million cows in California. So as a threat, we're not even relevant. However, the message we bring is very, very threatening because we talk about people that drink raw milk and the market exploding in raw milk, even though it's exploding in small numbers. The people are talking about it on the Internet, and they're blogging about it, and they're saying how wonderful their kids' immune systems are, and they don't have snotty noses anymore, and their bowels are working properly, and they sleep well at night, and they don't get colds and flu. Their digestive tracts are working properly, and they don't have immune system failure. And when we're drinking pasteurized milk, all they get is snotty noses and colds and ear infections because all the dead bacteria causes immune reactions, causes histamines, and a response with mucus. And, you know, with raw milk, you don't have that. Or most, not everybody has that anyway. So, you know, it is a threat in terms of the market information, but is not, or the information out there disseminated in the public. They're becoming more and more aware of whole food nutrition and processed foods. But economically, it shouldn't be a threat at all. I do think that if you read the dairy journals, that they are aware of the fact that probiotics are the way forward. And I think more and more you see the yogurt aisle expanding and the pasteurized milk aisle kind of contracting as more and more cheeses, probiotics, offerings like Dan and Activa and so on and so forth are expanded because people like them. They work for them. They're easily digested. So I think that there is an evolution, even though the Dan and Activa yogurts of the world are processed, by, you know, pasteurization, they're cultured back so that they do have some of the living bacteria in them that reflect its natural state. Although it does still have its bad, you know, its other dead bacteria and a lot of the enzymes are missing, it's still partially alive, and it's certainly a lot better than just dead milk. So I think that we represent a message that's scary to big dairy, that's for sure.
Now, when people who are listening to the show and they're thinking, oh, you know, I stopped drinking milk because I just always get a sinus infection, et cetera, what people can take a step toward raw milk and have some type of success? Probably sure. Not those who are lactose intolerant, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, so if you...
Well, lactose intolerance and pasteurization intolerance are not the same thing.
Right.
And we could go into an hour lecture about that whole thing. I won't get into it. But for the most part, there's a lot of people that think they're lactose intolerant, which are really not. They just have a real problem with pasteurization, and they can discover that by going to the doctor and actually having a breath test done to actually see if they're lactose intolerant. Very, very few people are actually lactose intolerant. They think it's less than 4% of the population or less, but there's like 30 to 40% of people in the population that actually seem like they have lactose intolerant, but when they drink raw milk, they don't have lactose intolerance. So we call that pasteurization intolerance. And it's yet to be fully determined exactly what causes that, but it's some variation on the theme of lactose intolerance, and we aren't sure about that. But as far as allergies are concerned, we think that's related to the dead bacteria. When you take milk from many different dairies and you put it in a creamery milk tank, the bacteria counts are very, very high. Then that milk is all sent through a common pasteurizer one, two, or three times to get the bacteria counts down low enough so the living bacteria are, you know, very, very low numbers. But the dead bacteria are all still there. Now, the dead bacteria are not whole. They're broken up into little pieces. That's how you kill the bacteria, through lysing. The cell membranes are broken open. Well, that releases all the internal proteins that are inside the cells. When you do that, guess what? Your body, when it consumes these dead bacteria and they're pieces of dead bacteria, doesn't recognize those pieces and sends out the mucus and all the histamines to kind of sweep it up. And it causes a big immune reaction, or allergic or histamine reaction, I should say. And in doing that, it's kind of causes a lot of congestion and a lot of inflammation in the body. And that's where you lay down these mucus pads in the ears and in the eustachian tubes and in the nose and everywhere, and puffiness and inflammation, which causes that milk allergy. And that's very, very common, even more common than the lactose. And that's one of the reasons why people just can't drink pasteurized milk, or many people can't, is because of this allergy issue on top of the digestive problem. Raw milk doesn't have that. Raw milk has elements in it which actually stabilize the mast cells, the MAST cells, which keep the histamines in check. And that was all shown to be true in the studies done in the Parsifal study a couple years ago, 15,000 kids in Europe. They found a massive decrease in allergies as well as you know, this whole issue with asthma in raw milk in Europe. But, of course, in the United States, that's all suppressed information, but it's certainly available on the Internet.
Hey, when we come back from a break, I want to go into the logistics of trying to get raw milk throughout the state of California. It has a short shelf life. I want to hear how you do it. You get all the way up here to the top of the state where we are, and we appreciate it. Yeah, so this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We're coming back with our last segment here with our guest, Mark McAfee of Organic Pastures down in Fresno, California. He delivers milk all through the state. Before we leave today, I want to thank Eric Lancaster, our producer, and Mark Beecham, our music director today. And coming back with you, Mark, you know, gosh, you have a big job. I mean, I remember when you were first getting going, it was just crazy. We'd be all waiting at the health food store for your delivery, and it was just like Christmas, and we'd buy our raw products. And, you know, now the shelves are always full. I mean, there's never a gap. You know, before, it just looked harder before, and you guys have figured something out that's miraculous. So how'd you do that?
Well, I have to take my hat off to my son and our delivery drivers who've done a great job. Believe me, there's a Wizard of Oz screen. There's a great Disneyland grand drama here that we play out and make it look easy that's very, very difficult. Raw milk has a short shelf life of about 7 to 10 days, and we always ask people to please find out when our trucks deliver the milk to the store and buy it that day or the next day so that they can have the longest possible shelf life. Because we all have to remember that raw milk wants to become yogurt. That's what it's born to become, is ferment and become a cultured dairy product, and raw milk has all the bacteria in it to act out. And if it's not kept cold continuously, it will do that. That's not a safety problem, but that is a challenge in terms of keeping milk fresh. We have 16 trucks that originate from two hubs, one in Northern California near Dublin and the other one in Southern California, that are distributed to by a large truck that leaves from our farm every day. So we have a large truck that leaves from our farm here in Fresno that delivers to these hubs, and then from those hubs we have 6 to 8 trucks that deliver around to farmers markets and to stores in about 400 stores in California every week. And we have 48 employees all together, including some part-time employees, and we have about 12 drivers that work very hard and start up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and drive thousands of miles every week with their trucks to deliver the milk to our stores. All the entire food system is owned by Organic Pastures Dairy. We do have complete control of the food chain. We only sub-distribute a little bit of our milk into extreme remote locations of California, but it is a big logistics issue, but we're very proud that we manage it ourselves. When we've ever tried to really subcontract it out to someone else, we've had a failure in the feedback because somebody had a complaint at the store level. It generally did not get through back to us at the dairy. Mm. We really like to have our own employees connected to the store so we get the feedback and we never miss a beat in terms of any complaints or compliments or things we can adjust to make better.
Now, do you know what products you deliver to the Reading store?
I don't.
Okay.
It should be milk, butter, cream for sure, maybe skim milk, and maybe cheese. Other than that, I know that butter's been very short because our milk sales have gone through the roof, and we've just bought another 80 cows to be able to get ahead of this, and their milk should be coming in here in the next two weeks or so to be able to make enough butter. Remember, it takes 100 pounds of milk to make 4 pounds of butter, and the skim milk nobody really wants. So we sell the skim milk off to be pasteurized at a different place down in Los Angeles, and we have bulk skim milk we just get rid of. It's organic. But we retain the cream to make our own butter. But remember, it just takes so much milk to make the butter, and that's why butter's kind of been touchy, you know, hit and miss.
If our milk is just starting to go, it's just turning, it's starting to get tangy, is there just something really easy to make out of that doesn't really take a brain?
That's a great question. You take the milk and you pour it into a glass container, and you would add some yogurt to it. You can add yogurt, just some regular pasteurized yogurt, as long as it's a good quality living yogurt, like a Nancy's yogurt or Strauss or one of those that has, they brag about the good bacteria in it. Put it in there and kind of mix it around a little bit, and leave it covered with like a cheesecloth for like 2 days in a warm environment, like 85 degrees, and it will become like a kefir. And you can use all the other cultures as well. You can use a keeper culture starter. You can use, there's different kinds of starters you can use to get things going. You can also use keeper if you'd like, keeper grains, which is a whole different other thing. But when you're done with that, what you'll have is clabbered milk, or a type of clabbered milk, which is fermented, which is wonderfully probiotic with maybe 15 to 20 million bacteria per milliliter instead of the low counts that you get when it's fresh. And you also have the biodiversity bacteria and all these things that are partially digested for you already. Add that into a smoothie, and you add in bananas and berries and honey, and you have a delicious probiotic mix, which is kind of like a yogurt, but a little bit more tangy. And it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful for the immune system, and it's a great way to start the day. So you don't need to miss a drop of your milk. Even when it gets old, it starts to sour.
Okay, so we take a scoop of yogurt, or a big old tablespoon of yogurt. Let's say we have, I don't know, a quart left, and it's starting to go, and nobody wants to drink it. Okay,
right.
So you can take a big old heaping tablespoon of yogurt, mix it in there, put a little bit of cheesecloth over it, and then... Do you have a little trick of where it's 85 in your house? I mean, I know that it's 85 up here a lot of the year, but right now it isn't. Is there, like, kind of maybe by the wood stove or, I don't know.
Not too hot, not above 100 degrees.
Okay.
You basically want to be in the 80s to 90 degrees. In the kitchen, near some place that's warm. Don't have to get hot. Just something that's, below body temperature. Just doubles its bacteria count at body temperature every 20 minutes. So it's really a growing thing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so wonderful for the immune system in the gut, too, is it breaks down and it cultures very well.
Okay, now we have this product that, is it thick like yogurt? Is it watery? What is it going to look like when we're done? How do we know when to put it back in the fridge and say, now we can eat this?
Well, I tell you what, when you've seen the separation of the curd and the whey, you'll see fluid sitting on the top and the curd in the bottom,
Okay. You'll
know that you're completely fermented, or mostly fermented. And you do is shake that up, kind of gloopy, drinkable, semi-firm, thick stuff.
Okay.
That's what it is. You're not going to get a firm yogurt because the biodiversity of the bacteria is such that it doesn't like to become a firm yogurt like regular yogurt. That's why regular yogurt is always pasteurized to kill off all the bacteria, so just the yogurt cultures are active.
Okay, so we're keeping both the curds and the whey. We're just mixing them up, and we're then putting a couple tablespoons of that for the next week in our smoothie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what you do is you'd put that into a blender, and you would add in a banana, some honey and some berries or peaches or whatever you like in there, and you make a delicious breakfast smoothie out of that.
Excellent. Okay, that's always been someone's complaint about spending the money on raw milk. Oh, it's going to go fast. If I don't get to it, lots of problems. And so, as we close out our morning here, we have just a couple of minutes left. So the future of raw milk, I mean, it sounds like it's pretty good.
In California, it is very promising, very bright. And I have incredible, vision for where it's going. I'm very excited because the health of the consumer is honest. I mean, you can't sell snake oil twice. You run out of town. But I tell you what, when it comes to raw milk, people beg you for it, and that just shows the integrity of the product. So I think that it's very promising, and I'm hoping that other dairymen join in and help us to produce raw milk in their local communities for people and follow the state rules so that it can be safe. Nationally, I think there's a real, real strife right now, and it's state by state, and my heart goes out to those that are fighting for it, and I support them 100%, and I blog a lot about it, and a lot of social networking going on to support them in their fight, and we want to be a mentor. We want to be an example for how others across the United States can follow in our steps in terms of how we've been able to successfully produce raw milk. And I've always offered all the information I have to anybody who's interested in producing raw milk to do it safely and do it in a way that people would love it and it tastes good. So we want to encourage the movement, and we want to encourage people to do other things too.
What's your website?
Organicpastures.com.
Okay, and then your phone number?
1-877-RAW-MILK.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us today. We just loved having you on.
And Trudy, thank you for having me, and anytime you want to have me back, I'd love to be with you.
Oh, cool. All right, take care, Mark, and happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, listeners, and we'll catch you next week.